and I start feeling tired, is that a good time for me to try to, you know, like work out the tiredness?
Yes. That's when you were releasing your traumas.
While you're in Delta.
Yeah. Well, trauma really is a verbalization of something that you can't put together in your brain and make meaning out of it. Now, if you never heard dog on you, what would it mean?
Nothing.
Good. But if you hear it every day, you praise it, dog on you, you're always fucking up. And one day you're in class and the teacher says, dog on you, you're always fucking up. That's a shock, right?
Yeah.
But it's because it's said to you by someone else, other than your parents. That traumatizes you because the dog on you means what now? What did it mean to you when your parents would say that to you?
That you were mucking ass.
Yeah.
But the teacher's saying the same thing.
So it puts you in the same frame of reference. And that's what you call a trauma. It causes you to crystallize to a type of phrase that has a limitation on your behavior. So it locks you into that rigidity and causes a cellular refrigeration. Once you recognize that, oh well, shit. That's when you gotta say, oh well, shit. If I'm mucking up, I'm gonna shit it out. My mother said, I muck up, shit, my mother. My teacher said, shit. So I shit up on them all. Now you go to the bathroom and you shit, and you yawn, and it stops. But you gotta do something obscene enough to break up the reaction. It's a very basic type of understanding, but a very effective form of therapy. But because we don't like to speak in that abrasive or crude manner, we dress it up. And that's what they call it, diplomacy. But if you don't let it bug you, you can always treat it off by antics, which you call tantra yoga, tantric.
Ask it out.
Bring your nose up in the breeze, stick it down like a line, rocking them up, high circulation.
But any time that you're in Delta, that time I can work some of it out, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I feel so, why do I feel so tired?
Because the body is not accustomed to that, and you only experience that when you're sound asleep.
So it's just through association that I think I have to be tired because I'm in that state?
Right. So, this is what I do. Break up the karmic trauma, the sonic resonance. Duplicating God when he breathes into man. You fool. I don't take it. I'll do it for you once. I'll take it wrong. Okay, you man of fool.
So
you can imagine God after you work everything out and he's bored and stiff. That is, this is God says, no, honey, give it something to prove. We can't have it there, the sign up there, not doing nothing. All right. Boy, came alive.
So Yanni, is this increasing the pressure
right when
you're sucking in? And that's why you can, if you're pressing on a point and then yawn, it's like double pressure, is that what it is?
Right, so it's called acute pressure, or acute pressure, accurate pressure. There are three levels, low, medium, high, or deep.
Low, medium, high, and what?
Or deep, very hard. Soft, medium, hard.
Oh. But you said that yawning was a suction. It seems like it's just somewhere, but it looks like the back pressure.
Yes, we're siphoning it up. Siphoning out the gas.
How does that work? It seems like it's just pushing the pressure more down, and then when you're finishing out,
it puts it out and make you breathe more through your nostrils. Start beating more.
Automatic. You don't write a check, you just use the credit card. It's like writing a check. snow clothes. And you, the money's taken out right there.
I didn't know that. Yeah, and we did all of our Christmas presents on this one card. I mean, they automatically, instead of thinking, we thought we were going to get a bill.
Oh.
Hey.
Right, so I had your check.
Well, see, we had all of our receipts, but all of our receipts are for exchanges. Plus, when we get the bill at the end of the month, or the first of the month, whenever it comes in, we just pay that. You know, it's a delayed payment. Big deal. No way was it a delayed payment.
Nobody told you.
It was
not. It was automatically taken out of the
account.
Oh.
What do you think is going to cut us all of that? All false checks and bank checks is that when we deposit money at the bank, let's say you put in $1,000 deposit, you're going to get $999 in printed checks. $1 is going to go to the cost of printing that book. You take home the $999 check book. And when you issue out the check, what that number is on this check, it totals up to $999. So there is no way the false check is going to go. It's going to be like money on the checks, or like American Express checks.
Oh.
The total elimination of all the black checks that you can write off of this are running a company. That's the only cure for a lot of the problems that are facing the banks and all the feedback of somebody giving you a check and it bounces and then you're in a bill because you issue a check against that number, turns on a bill. No. The person is not going to make checks that they don't have. And if their account is $5 billion, they're going to carry home their $5 billion checkbook.
My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever this is going to be printed out in those large numbers to operate with this, that eliminates all the problems of issuing a pile of blank checks to be deducted.
Okay, now with the, well, what I understand with these cards,
you see, that is creating more problems,
but
creating more work,
what?
And it isn't, it's not going to solve the problem because why?
It can't, because if you write checks too, you've got you have outstanding checks, and so the balance is going to show up.
Right.
It won't take on the service charges, even if the balance is right.
Whereas with a check
right.
that is already deposited to the value of $1,000 and funded back to you for $999, you know $1 went to the printing, and that's the bank rate. And the bank honors those checks because it is already printed it to honor it and it's back in your name. And it's got the number from 1 to 9.
Like each one is worth $1, you say?
From $1 to $50.
Oh.
Or $100. If you want three $100 checks or three $50 checks, fairness, fairness, but they'll be there to the value of $999.
Kind of like money orders. Or
cashier's
check. Change would always be.
Traveler's check. More like that.
Made in stamps.
What is?
The change is made in stamps. A stamp is a negotiable change.
Where do you get the stamp?
Post office.
Yeah.
So if you have $8.20 coming to you, you'll get $8 and a 20 cent stamp.
So what you're saying is the post office and the banks are in that negotiable
change. Right. And that will knock out all the fraud, overdrafts, and all the different kind of games played, and put the economy in the stable situation. Because then what is the current overplaying with one account is not going to be there. Some people put this money to ship it over the other way. That gave them a return.
You mean there won't be any cash at all?
Well, yeah, it's cash in the form of negotiated checks. You'll have cash, you can
but it's only going to be your personal check.
You can have, you'll have pennies and quarters and so forth, but in the bank book that you get and you put it down and you go to a college, you make out the, all right, you have a bill for $10.20. Looking through your entire little book, you only
have one $1 check, and you have two $5, four tens. So you gotta pay $10 of how much? So you take out, you write out the check for $10, because it's not gonna be more, it can't be more than 10. And the check for 20 cents, you write that for 20 cents, and you get 80 cents worth of stamps as your change.
So you have to give them a $1 one?
Yeah.
So are these stamps only for letters?
The stamps will be there as refundable
change. You can mail a letter with it?
You can mail a letter or go pay 20 cents or 30 cents with stamps for any place where they can use it, small numbers.
Jeez,
they're
going to stick together
if they have change, if you have change, if you have change, if you have 22, if you have two dimes, if you have two dimes, you get it. Then this will be the next situation that will come up. They'll give you the cash checks, the cash is coming. But because the metal will be very expensive.
That's what they're there for, it does get crowded.
When the silver and the copper and the gold fluctuates too much, you're not going to have the silver, copper and the gold to be using as change. You're going to get stamps. Legitimate postal stamps. Accepted by the U.S. Postal Office. To replace...
We'll probably have more special things to keep them. Cute little things to put in the wall.
Yes, start designing. Get a jump on everybody.
You're going to have your little stamp here. But that would be for giving them. You see, for instance,
have one of those
you can give a $10 check and a 20 cent stamp. And that will be accepted by the bank as $10 and 20 cents. To your account.
They didn't. She didn't sell it.
And if you pay the store, $10.30, there will be that effect because the stamp will be a cumulative exchange change. But it's legitimate because you can't complete the U.S. Postal stamp.
There's no rules.
So the same way, if you eliminate competing checks by having serialized numbered. Serialized number that can alter that. Because a $1,000 check.
Yeah, let me call her for you.
You
know,
you
for
me.
I like that. Well, I was noticing part of that fine was the little stamp you put in the cloth. You're not carrying the big dollar bill because you're carrying
more. Well, there's a stamp
for change.
Coinage.
Oh, coinage. That's the part I missed.
So if you don't have coins to put, give $1.20 or $10.20, you can give $10.20 stamp.
See, I was out while that was going on, and I missed that card.
So now the post office, the government's grant, would have to do mass production of the stamps.
Oh, that's already on the way to buy stamps now at Safeway. Right through the checkout counter, you can buy a lot of stamps.
You don't have to
buy. But you see, 5 20-cent stamps. Or 5 1-cent stamps. They go from 1 to 25, like with your money. So that would be the ratio of value. Or 1 to 50. You go right up, you see, because the ratio of the stamp is set so that it can be used as legitimate tender.
Is that why they are starting to sell stamps and grocery stores kind of get ready for the whole
time? Yeah, they're getting ready. But they're looking at what they're saying is that it'll be forcing them to either shape up or they're going to run their economy into the ground.
Yeah, they could easily do that once they start printing stamps and not even using coins.
Because that eliminates the coin is to have the stamp up to the dollar ratio. See, you have more to 50 cents. Because the biggest coin that you have is 50 cents piece. See? So we don't use much 50 cents coin now. So we have 25 cents coin. So if you're going to buy a product for $5.33 plus tax and it comes out to $6.10, you give a check for $6.10. You add up the amount of tax and everything, so the total is $6.10, $6.10.
that you would have to give them a $5 check and a $1 check.
No. You give them, yeah, you give them a $5 check and a $1 check.
And a
10 cent stamp. That is legitimate because your book is set up that you just signed it to and handed it. It's money with your signature for the first time that you wrote. And nobody can sign it because it's signed with you.
And how are they going to do signatures? Are they going to do it with your handwriting, or are they going to use stamps, or are they going to use thumbprints?
Thumbprints. Because then they'll have to look at it at holidays this year.
We're going to do away with the filing away your thumbprint.
Really?
File off the old thumbprint?
Actually, they can eliminate a lot of the problems that comes up in the bank, and a lot of the focuses are going on with the issuing checks and not that one or all that.
But you know, they're doing everything possible.
And there is no date on the check, you see, that's because you're issuing, instead of putting a date on the check, a $10 check and a $10 check, why you just put your signature to it, and press the thumbprint and hand it in for a $10 check. But it's valid money already. It's not predated or postdated or anything. It's automatic money.
I like that.
Through the time warp in 2001, and so he went through the time warp, and when he came back in the time warp, we see that particular person in three different aspects. The three different aspects we see.
Excuse me, Aunt Betty. I think Liz is going to stay over at my house if you don't want.
From midday to 6:30, in a matter of 7 days, you'll be becoming allergic. Because the body develops its own natural allergens.
So how does the body react to this?
Because it builds itself. No. Then it
would make them lose a desire?
Yeah. What an allergy, you know, and something put something in your mouth, you don't have it, or you have a reaction, you don't want it. Now, addiction is something you want to put back, that's the craving. An allergen is something that rejects it. So your own mouth acts as an allergen. Every time you put this thing there, it pushes it away because you're reacting in the body, such as an allergic action. It makes you feel nauseous, so you don't want it. Addiction makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you find, when you think back, how many cigarettes a day you smoke?
You have to practice.
All right, so that's about
10 to 18.
All right, but if you don't smoke, most of them, you smoke them in the morning and in the evening. And in the middle of the day, maybe have to take two or three. The rest of them is always morning. So that's the few. The most, and the period that they take the most is the period of addiction. And the period they take the least is the period of allergy.
I understand what you're saying.
Then you should take all of them and just get up at midday.
When you want them or not.
Yeah. And smoke them all out, the whole 12, or whatever it is, in 7 days, your mouth develops the allergy.
When
so every time you put a cigarette here, the allergic taste and then you don't want the cigarette. It's just a natural biological practice.
You think that'd be easier than struggling around, don't you?
Well, it's easier because you find the body is doing that itself naturally.
What if she just smokes like 5 in the middle of the day with that, and she didn't want anymore, did she have to force herself to smoke the whole amount?
It doesn't work.
You have to force yourself to smoke that
many. I've done all the methods and I've found out over the years in the research on myself and others, when you smoke the quantity that you're accustomed to smoke the whole day, the 10-minute growth cycle, and then you don't give it anything in the addiction cycle, then saliva sets up its own allergy, and automatically it phases it off. When you go to reach that cigarette for a long time, your body don't know.
I have said, in fact, I told my friend I quit to help me. I smoke, you know. How are you doing? Did you smoke?
Feel around your ears, around in here, and tell me if it's tender. Inside the ear.
Yes.
That's your second point, too. What they do in smoking clinics for acupuncturists, they put a ring there. Well, that's where the shock is, but originally, the reason why you start smoking might have been a trauma.
Yeah. I had my first husband drinking.
Well, that would be the biggest trauma to the cigarette, support system. See, a cigarette is a support system.
I lost that.
Yeah, so it becomes like reaches for something to stabilize.
Even this morning, I think.
Well, then you see, you reverse the process. Take it down. Yeah, do it because it's a reverse of a cigarette. Instead of putting the cigarette to support yourself to feel satisfied for the trauma, take your time out as a plan for you. Yeah, that breaks the trauma.
Yeah.
So I'd like to stay. Just keep on going. Well, because it breaks the trauma because when they did the reaction of the voice, and they took off and left you, leaving you in a tremor or a state to reach for something to stabilize you.
So the reaching part is...
Yeah. But if you had divorced, then you would worry about it. Then they divorce you, automatically put you in a traumatic state.
All three of you.
All right. So they put you in a trauma, so maybe you're feeling like you need something to hold on to. Now you have to reverse the gesture psychologically. To break the trauma.
Okay.
I could take 3 balloons, alright, and write the face on the balloon, and then so you divorce them. Psychologically, see, that breaks the trauma.
I understand what you're saying.
You see, that breaks the trauma. Instead of making you feel dependent, you feel now free. And that wouldn't make you reach out for a cigarette. A cigarette is a sort of a dependency pattern to support the idea of being left stranded in the state of mind. So you take the cigarette as a support thing. If not, so before you ever got married.
Here. Stick your tongue out.
Well, is he the
I have a perfect time about put them on the self tonight. If you upset it on self tonight,
and just bother
the
man. Right. You see the Eastern people developed those techniques that they used to call yoga, and they took the posture from animals and they made the person out of it, and they called them, they used to call them patients, like in this country, they call them disciples or students. Somebody wants to learn how to be healthy, that's what they call them disciples. So these are the rules of how to be healthy. To make you relax, now you have a trauma, or they call it a karma, a condition, or a cause, and then they say, okay, they left you in this situation. How can you rise above it? That you gotta after rule of the most powerful beast in this world. Then you think of what can that animal be? Not human. It's a mind. Good. Okay, so now we want you to demonstrate to us how does a lion behave. And they go, you didn't want to just stick it on us. So this was a psychological.
This
is psychological.
Okay. Here you go.
Every time you see the word, it clicks with it. That's what you go, huh. Oh, reaction, right.
What about the word Joe? Does that mean anything?
You know, Joe, he comes on as real Joe.
Real Joe?
In other words, Joe is the type of name that tends to get like buddy-buddy for the people. It's a name, it's a word Joe, and the word Joe is a buddy-buddy word.
Buddy.
It's a sort of a buddy word, Joe. He's a real Joe. He's a good guy.
He was
yeah.
a buddy, and then he did
harass
you. That's right.
That's exactly true.
And so the two words tend to generate a traumatic reaction in the brain. And this is English. That's why we get the right brain and that brain part of it. We don't know how to handle it.
I have not known
that. But now you can understand it and see it in this context. So are you.
Okay, the last
one
here. And I
just thought I'd be talking
about it, you know, how they still. In February is when I had emergency lockdown. In February.
Yeah, but you got married in February at the Bobby.
Yeah, but I know for this last reaction or the reason I'm on medication from that because I think Bobby could last. Now I'm scared of him. Stay there.
Come on. Okay, you ready?
We never realize how these words have traumatic action in the brain. And Bobby is already indicative of this. Baby, always want to be nurtured. Or always want to be nurtured.
He was a big old boy.
Yeah, okay.
He was a big old boy.
This is how
Bobby
we get...
Bobby Parks.
Baby got moved.
Every Bobby, I can say Bobby, that's exactly right.
So this is what comes down to the woman, and says she can recognize the emotional trauma she can't get across it. She doesn't do it. And she ends up looking for something to stabilize, in the alcohol, food, smoking, something. And so they rush up. But this is what you got to recognize. This is what the therapist has to work with. You have to work with these things.
Okay, why? This reason started. First, see you, Aiden.
He was harassed. Well, see, what really happened, though, you were moving into, when you started smoking, you started, but then Joe Harry came in also at the same time, you know, and so you were, it was like, he was rushing, Joe Harry's rushed so violently, and that was the part of it.
Go ahead,
you want to stick your tongue out?
I'm serious. What?
What is black
nut? Here, stick your tongue out at him. He says he's a friend. Now, why did you start smoking again? Stick your tongue out.
Come on, be a good girl.
What's a word called simulative? Rustle up something.
Oh, wrestle that. I was thinking of muscle.
He's a hustler.
Yeah.
His name is Ron Blaine. Now, but it's always called him Ron. But any kind of business card is always Ron.
Is he on the
run? He's on the run. On the run?
But the wrestle balances him. Because he's running this way, but the wrestle is hustling.
Right.
So he's really balanced.
He's the type of person who's got to always be doing something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Most of the
time.
Hours. Where's John coming? He's going to my house this week.
He's working
furnished.
Oh, okay.
Nothing.
That's what they call
so
wrestling our business.
Still won't come on, huh?
Like yes. That. Rustle up some business.
My last husband tried to fix it. He couldn't, so he goes and buys a space heater. Been broke that long.
It broke that night?
It's been broke that long.
Oh.
About 4 years ago. Turn up the top light is off, so I don't know. turn it off, it's working. It makes us terrible noise, but it's getting dead. My mess has. And I just accept it, put a dog in my bed, going, whoop! We black.
Yeah.
And it's
the air in
the bed. He was so crazy, and I'm just wanting to make a fun of him, you know. But I was in the house too. So anyway, my dad quit first time. Made this noise, he judges. I can see why your ex-husband's dead. But, and he pulled it about 41 times. He's got these three burners.
Yeah.
Sometimes one light, and sometimes two light, one time, sometimes three.
Some of the gas has been coming out and lighting it evenly.
Well,
so
the
it builds up and then
it's the timing of the vessel.
The guy is, he's running.
No?
No, because he's running too much.
Yeah, but how do you find someone with a neutral name? Adana Lay, is that neutral? That means he's playing around.
I'm not going anywhere.
I don't
know. It drives me crazy. What was your initial name, and when you wouldn't have to worry about? I mean, my name is Wolf. Isn't that bad or good?
Friend would be a good friend.
Goodwill. Goodfellow or something. What do you think about a name like Goodfellow? Does that mean they're...
Not all the time.
Sometimes they're opposite.
They're opposite sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes
they're odd fellows.
Goodfellow, odd fellow.
Elizabeth, you know, and I'll say my name, and it will give me more power.
Because my figure is at numerically, and Harry, if my, if I say Elizabeth, if I go by Elizabeth and Harry, then we're equal numerically. But if you use Liz, then he is the dominating vibration.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah,
the
stronger vibration.
So, yeah, so I've been... Harry, Harry, how about Harry?
Yeah. Well, he's a Harry experience. He really is. But, you know, it's good. But it's...
They call it the erasers?
Oh, good.
You see that? It was an interesting story. Harold of Hastings went to Normandy to recruit the aid of William, Duke of Normandy, to go and help him reclaim his land back in England. This is how, of course, I read this article, and the monk at that time told Harold, he said, "Your name is a loser." It's written in French, I read it in French. He says, "Your name is a loser. You never will be able to run your country. You need a better name." But he couldn't find a name for Harold Hastings. Anyway, William just went back with him to help him reclaim his land. But in the process of reclaiming it, the last battle, Harold refused to recognize William as his full partner in the whole program of regaining all of Saxony back to England.
He refused to
recognize William.
Okay.
Right. And
yes.
Okay. And the sort of they had an argument, and Harold took off for the Tom of Hastings. They didn't have a good point. William was coming, finally, and it showed up the payment of having helping with all the people, and let him go back to Normandy and forget about it as a lost cause of having to help him and all. He just did it like this. And he refused to go through the gates to let him in, and they gave him back. So William ran his horse off the boat onto the shoreline and slipped, fell all over the ground. Can you imagine a man in armor fall off a horse? They thought the battle was over, right? They all had decent.
I see it in the movies.
And then they came up in the fort, you know, they could see Harold and everything. But William got up. But in his hand, he had some sand in his glove.
What?
Sand.
Oh, sand in the glove.
Yeah, and he showed everybody, said, "This land is ours." And all the soldiers got around him. They were going to charge the fortress, but he says, "No, gather all the archers and then shoot arrows." And so all the archers gathered around William and they started firing arrows. And that's how Harold got hit in the eye. And when he got hit in the eye, he realized he was going to die and he lost the battle. And William then took over the fortress because Harold died in the battle. And then when the battle was over, William declared himself King of all England.
Yeah.
King of all England. Yeah, King of all England. Because Harold, the guy who defeated us and the Saxons and the Anglos, and was the only surviving person of that last group. And so he said, "Nobody to come and contest it." And he got killed because he didn't want to pay off William for helping him.
So William
came out of here? Oh. I read that thing, it was funny. But that's the very word, Harald.
It's a good name.
It has two things. So Harry, one cell, is called Harry. And at the same time, it doesn't have stability.
The hair?
Somebody who possibly harass you.
What's a good name?
That's what I was asking.
Somebody who possibly harass you is a good name?
No, she said, "What's a good name?"
No,
the Buddha, he was told that by the...
Oh, right. I mean, I'm your relation.
So he was trying to find a Saxon name. He never got a Saxon name. So he held on to the old word Harold.
Harold? O-L-D?
Yeah, Harold.
It seems like that would be...
Like Harold. It's
Harold.
If he had taken Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D, would have been better.
He would change the vowel to Harold.
But what was his name?
It's Harold, H-A-R-O-L-D.
So A-L-D is the only difference?
Yeah.
And well,
so Harold, H-E-R-A-L-D, it means to bring in good news. And H-A-R-O-L-D is to harass oneself with
the
late.
Yeah, well,
not
used for
sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, you still doing it?
Can I spell my name?
I'm full of
F-R-A-N-C-E-S.
Francis.
Like name, Francis?
C-E-S
or
I-N-C-E-S?
All right, and then Francis of Rome is the patron woman saint for our driver.
Francis, a woman?
Yeah, she's a woman.
See, my first name is Clara.
C-L-A-R-A.
That's a what?
It's Clare.
Clare.
Is he clear?
See clear. Yeah, see clear. Clear. Yeah. My last name is Macfield. M-C-G-I-L-D-R-A-Y. That's my first, it's like the boy's name, my children. But it's interesting. See, Francis, the church has just made her the patron saint for all drivers. Patron saint for all drivers.
All drivers. That's not a bad name. I didn't like it.
It's a good name.
Now, what was your name?
Francis.
Francis what?
That's her name. Francis of Rome. You see, they dropped St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers, because the church didn't want us, and they said they don't think he's a real guy. So they dropped him off, and they found this woman who prayed for the safety of travelers, and they would always get through. And the church has now made her the patron saint of travelers.
I think that's very funny, because everybody's saying, well, woman's robber, and now they made a woman the patron saint of travelers.
Right.
I'm so glad you said that.
I love it.
I'm
so glad
you said, and I'm going to get a CD in my car every time I hear a truck driver say, woman driver.
Saint Francis.
Tell them who the patron saint is.
Let me tell you, buddy, the patron saint is Saint Francis, and it's a woman.
Yeah.
The Pope declared her.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that was something on that one.
Yeah.
You say
I'm Jewish.
Huh? Yeah,
Jewish.
You'll say, piddle on the Pope.
What about Ronald?
Ronald is Ronald is
Russell. My youngest son's name is Russell. He's his first name. But he's got to be doing something awesome.
Yeah, the word Russell means to rustle up all his food to be active.
Who put those names on?
I don't know. You see, names originally began with occupation. That's why they find among the American Indians, they don't give you a name. They always call you boy or girl or squaw till you 13 years of age, and then you get your name. So like, you go out from the tribe for 24 hours. And then you come back with your name. That's how they get your name. I lived among them there in the Navajo especially, and this young family had this boy, and it was his time to go out. And he had a little bow and arrow, and he went off. And he didn't show up until about 24 hours, next to almost 30 hours. And he was bringing in a feather. And they asked him, what's your name? And he said, Gray Eagle. The feather.
Gray?
Yeah, the eagle
feather. Gray
was a great eagle feather.
A great eagle.
Yeah. Oh. He saw an eagle while he was out there in the in the reservation, fly, and he was tracking it. And the eagle was in the field of what you call molting.
Yeah.
And one of his feathers fell off and got it. And that was a great eagle. Now, I met him years after, and it was funny. He was always taking care of the family's sheep. No other, he had other brothers, but they could never handle the sheep. The sheep would never listen to them. But he would come, and he'd just shake a little feather, and make a little noise, and the sheep would walk.
Okay, did the parents normally give them the names?
No, they make it in.
They make it themselves.
Yeah.
They go out and, okay.
Yeah. Then they, from then on, he's called Great Eagle.
Okay, but if you name, if what would be my talent? I haven't found quite how I do with it. I know. It's the ability to make time stop. Right. You know, like a few times we've been, with people, and it's like time stops, you know, and it's, you're just completely in that place, and you know, and when you come out of it, it's like, well, golly, it's afternoon, it's still afternoon. is that the conversation, is that particular enough?
Wait,
no. My Indian name is Cosmoel. Because when I went to the lake one time, and I stayed a week. I went to the lake and stayed. We have a lake lot. I would love you to see it because it's really pretty down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take anything with me. We had a tent down there. We didn't have a cabin. But I went down and I stayed. And the only thing that happened was that, and I meditated. But the tent was blue, too. It was very interesting because it was just a bright, brilliant, bright blue. And it was, you know, so it was in this tent a lot. And I fasted. I took pineapple, and that's all I took. But the only thing really interesting, there was a lot of fog that rose on the lake. It was in August. And but the only thing that I did, I came back one time, and I got a claw. That was the only unusual thing that happened. But I could have gotten the radio. You know, afterward I said to myself, I didn't even get the radio. You know, that's strange that I got the clock. I couldn't tell what time it was. It was like, there was no way. I would look and say, well, I wonder what time. It was like without that measurement of time, to keep control, it was like time just went on. And you didn't know, you were lost in time. So that's how I got
that. That's the suspension of time.
So did you name yourself that, or no? He named you
the Great Dinawa.
That was given to me, Dinawa. They gave me that name when I was in the reservation.
Oh, that's you.
Yeah.
Which means I think that.
consciousness. Female. masculine is yogi. Yogi, the word yogi means unified, or unity, or union. Mm-hmm. And the male person is called a yogi, one male person in the state of the unified field, where everything is suspended. The female person is called a yogini.
Why did they make that distinction?
Like every language, you have to have male, female, derivatives at the end.
Except
for
this language, English,
then. Oh, yes.
Well, fewer, like waiter and waitress, but there's not that many. In Spanish, every word has male.
English, let me clarify for your friend. English didn't become a language. It started off as a dialect and evolved into a language. That's the one advantage that English has over every other language, a classical language that didn't evolve any further than language. They can't become dialects.